Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network as well. And we're coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Teak will be in this hour, which will be nice. I'll start getting into the Big Ten stuff here. Crazy. I mean, just what a roller coaster. Just amazing. The twist and the turns and the energy that's been expended from both sides. You know, those who are, you know, and Teak and I were both resigned to the fact that at various points, most points, this day would not come to fruition, number one. And even before that, you know, we were lauding the conference for taking the stance that they took, given the unknown nature long-term of the virus. We understand that, you know, we know what the evidence suggests. Not suggest, we know what the evidence and the data tells us now. If you're of a certain age, for the most part, you're fine. You're going to plow through it, you'll be good. You know, you might have a rough week or 10 days or a little bit more, and of course, there's other circumstances, so I'm not trying to sound insensitive, but for the most part, the overwhelming amount of cases with young people, it resolves itself, you know? But what happens with the residual, you know, lung issue, scar tissue, scar, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know, but that is one reason why we both thought it was the prudent play to punt on this thing, you know, let the SEC and let the Big 12, you know, let the ACC, if they want to go for the huge money grab, which, by the way, this is all that it is. It's one big colossal money grab. We understand that. We're not dumb. But if that's what they want to do, and if they want to perhaps sacrifice the long-term health of a few players, then that's their prerogative. And if that's the case, and that actually were to come to fruition, God forbid, then they would have to deal with, I'm sure, some legitimate legal fallout and recourse down the road. The Big Ten took a totally different path, a path we both respected, and now here we are. It's a totally different path. Play ball! October 23rd, it's on. Now, let me just let you, here's the bullet points, all right? 8 games in 8 weeks, so it's going to be rapid fire. It starts October 24, not that long from now. You'll have daily rapid testing, which begins September 30th. The test results must be completed and recorded prior to every practice and game. Oof, it's a lot of tests. This, to me, I'm going to circle this, move on, but get back to it because I think this has long-term possible implications on the season. Players who test positive must wait 21 days to return to competition. Put a little circle around that. A team positive rate greater than 5% means an automatic 7-day pause, no matter what. So if 5.32% of the team tests positive, shut it down for 7 weeks, pull the plug for seven days. I'm going to circle that as well. Now, keep in mind, from a timing point of view, here's a couple of dates that you need to know. The Big Ten conference title game is scheduled for December 19th. As we know, the four teams in the playoff semifinals, that's going to be January 1st, all right? And then the national championship is going to be January 11th. Now, I really hope it doesn't come to this. And I, at this point, while I'm a little mystified at the path the Big Ten took to get here, I'm obviously rooting for them. It's my favorite conference. The SEC is the best conference. And I love watching the, and the SEC's got the best action and the best pageantry. The SEC's number one, number one. But, you know, I didn't grow up with college football. Didn't have it growing up in New York City. You know, I didn't care about Syracuse basketball. You know, when did they come to the Garden to play St. John's? When did they play in Georgetown? You know, but in terms of football, you know, even when McNabb was there, when they had a couple of good years, whatever, it never registered with me. It didn't register with one of my friends. It's 9 hours north of where we grew up. So, you know, Fordham football is nothing, with all due respect, in terms of, you know, the grant. Well, it's actually, I take that back. That was phrased poorly. I have a lot more respect for Fordham. That didn't come out right. Fordham football just doesn't have the imprint in the New York area that, you know, that you would want. It's not going to resonate. Same with Princeton in New Jersey. Same with Stony Brook out on the island. Hofstra pulled the plug on their program. I'm just thinking of teams, programs around the area growing up. You know, I went to Marist when I was a kid. I didn't even know where Marist was, let alone whether or not they had a football team. And even, you know, now that they do. Now, what I said about Fordham, I could probably say about Marist football team, you know. But the point is that, you know, there was just nothing that I was exposed to. So really my first real love, and I would watch all the games, you know, but I didn't have a connection to my soul. And I was the kind of sports fan, and I still am, where that's why I don't love hockey. My dad didn't watch it. My dad didn't know it. Even though I played in the street and I was an Islanders fan, go Isles, still hanging around, by the way, down 3-2. Let's go. Stars are waiting. I'm watching. It left my heart and soul when I was, you know, 10 or 11, when I started really focusing on baseball and basketball. But when I moved to Detroit, this is the point, when I moved to Detroit in 01, here I am in the middle of the Big Ten country, and it was just awesome. It was like nothing I've ever been exposed to. You know, I'm doing my radio show, even though I did a weekday show, but on weekdays I did a couple of shows outside of Michigan Stadium, which for me was like, I'm still in my 20s. I'm like, this is incredible. 109,000 people. I'm staring at Michigan Stadium. Insane. I went to Michigan State. Watched them play Cal. Watched them play Michigan. Watched them play Wisconsin. Went to the Horseshoe. Went to Ohio State. Great venue. Couple games I've seen there. So my first real exposure to college football was the Big Ten. I love the Big Ten. So I am so thrilled that the Big Ten is back. And the other great thing about the Big Ten is that, let's face it, I think you know where I'm going if you listen to the show, Sharp Tierney. He's going to check in for 30 seconds here. What starts the betting Saturday? It's the Big Ten. Yeah, you'll get some other obscure action noon kicks. The Big Ten, you get a lot of noon kicks, so you start your betting Saturday that way. I know I do. So my only concern here is just the logistics of the calendar. Let's do a little math here. Let's actually start crossing up some dates. So you've got now, like I said before, January 1 is the semifinal. That's a Friday. All right, Friday, January 1. They're going to have to hold true to this. They're not going to reverse course. So if you test positive, you have to wait 21 days to return to competition. So what happens if whomever wins the conference, whoever wins the championship, and then you would imagine goes into the Final Four, if you will. What if a week after that or so, or not even, it doesn't even matter, it's December 19th, it could be December 20th, you can't play in the semi. That's a long return. That's a long wait for a positive test. And they're erring on the side of caution. I think this is their way of balancing what they're most fearful about. And which is why they're, you know, along with the Pac-12, which is in a totally different situation. But there's a movement now that the Pac-12 is going to come back. But to me, they're juggling a lot. They're trying to satisfy a lot of different masters. The parents have been very vocal, which I get. The fan bases have been very vocal. The networks, you know what they demand in terms of a fulfillment of a requisite amount of games for that money, which is huge. It's number one. You know, I hate to be so callous and so cynical, but, you know, I don't think that they don't care about the kids. I'd like to think that they do, and I believe that they do. But I believe the way this was positioned, you'd probably have to flip that a little. This is all about the money. It's about the money. So here we are, and looks like the Big Ten's going to hop in. And by the way, Diesel, maybe I'm assuming a little bit too much here. Are we certain that with an October 24th start date, eight games, 8 days, that they will absolutely be able to align their schedule and seamlessly, you know, just fit right back into the national picture and vie for championship. Is that an erroneous assumption?
I don't think it's certain that they will.
Well, I know it's not certain, but
I'm going to assume that they will. I mean, I think that the college football playoff will do everything they can to get the Big Ten involved.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's I am surprised. I am. How surprised are you, D-Cell?
Given everything that the Big Ten has gone through in the last 2 or 3 months, I'm not surprised, but I'm shaking my head. I think the Big Ten looks really bad today.
No, they do. From a PR point of view, they look inept. They look worse than bad. They look inept. They look sub-professional. They look as if they don't know what the hell they're doing. That's really. I mean, you'd almost rather have somebody have too aggressive of a plan, but have a plan and remain, you know, with conviction and remain married to it. As long as it's not completely reckless and, you know, and you push forward with it versus this mishmash, connect the dots labyrinth as they've just kind of bounced around off every wall in the corridor to get from where the heck they were a couple of months ago to where they are today. It just seems like such an extraneous route and really so unnecessary. So many people weighed in. So many people had a voice in here. Again, it's one thing the President Trump weighed in, and now they're trying to quickly, you know, disassociate themselves with that. They don't want anything that remotely reeks of any political influence, which is impossible at this point. But they're trying their best to separate themselves from that. You know, it's just a lot of chefs in the kitchen, a lot of cooks at the stove. You know,
it's just too much back and forth. They made a decision months ago. And we applauded their decision. What they felt wasn't informed on whether they decided, you know what, it's not safe to play football this season. That's okay.
Yes, that's what Teague and I have been saying for months.
Or whether they, you know what, I think we can do this in a safe manner. That's okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do the in-between. Because I think the people who look the best today, and I know you had mentioned maybe there's rumors that the Pac-12 will, you know, try to come back. I think the Pac-12 looks better today. They made a decision, what they felt was the best one.
Yep.
And to this point, they've stuck to it.
Yeah, well, they look the best now. And that's, you know, 5 days ago, I don't think that we thought we'd be sitting here doing a segment on the Big Ten returning October 24th. So I also know that, you know, the Pac-12 just geographically, whether it's wildfires, I mean, there's just so many different issues out there. They've got different things to navigate. And I know the governor doesn't seem remotely, he seems pretty locked in on this one. We'll see. Peer pressure is a strong thing. It's a strong thing positively, and it's a strong thing negatively. Just like when everybody, like little Bowdoin College, right? When they started to shut down, a lot of other smaller schools started shutting down. First, everybody in Bowdoin's conference, and then eventually got to schools like mine at Marist and other smaller schools. And before you know it, there's just an absence of football outside of at the highest level right now. That's probably for the best. But That was peer pressure to avoid looking bad. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's a different influence with the Pac-12. Where you don't want to look disconnected or just, you know, totally outside of the box of what applies today in terms of conventional thinking. And maybe there's pressure there to get back in the game. The Pac-12, I have no idea what they're going to do. But I know this, you know, come October 24th, I'm going to be a happier sports fan. I'm going to be a more fulfilled sports fan. I'm going to love watching the Buckeyes, and I'm going to love watching Michigan, and we can get back into those conversations. All right, Jim Harbaugh, let's see it, buddy. And, you know, where are you at, Wisconsin? What do you have, Scotty Frost? Let's see. You know, this is what – I mean, this week, and we knew that this was coming, not this, per se, with the Big Ten, but we knew, and we threw it out there, and it just kind of represented, you know – at that point, seemingly empty words, like Jeez, man, wait till we get to September and October. It's going to be crazy, man. You're going to have the NFL. You're going to have baseball. You're going to have the hockey. You're going to have the Stanley Cup. You're going to have baseball rounding up the regular season, getting to the playoffs. You're going to have the U.S. Open. Oh, guess what's coming to Wingfoot this Thursday, tomorrow? The U.S. Open. We're going to have the Ryder Cup. We're going to have the Masters in October. Or is that November? When is the Masters? The Masters is... I think November's too late, even down in Georgia. I think it's October. I think it's late October. Either way, it's at least next month. It's not in September, obviously. So the calendar's getting crammed. You know what it's like? Only this is, it's like this, only it's the good version. You know, I had to do it this week. I had to do it this Saturday. Really want to play golf. Finally starting to play a little well. You know me, I always lament my game. I stink, but I'm finally starting to hit the ball pretty well. And I know I've got about a month left to golf, and I want to play. And my wife is awesome with this. You know, I'm always playing with the kids, you know, pick them up school, whatever. I help out a lot. I'm a very engaged dad, and I love it. But PT wants to play a little golf. And I told my buddy, I'm like, Dan, I got to finesse this one this week, and I got to see. I got to see if I can play this Saturday. This is like when, and I can, because she's awesome. This is when you want to do something, and you're like, oh, let me just check the calendar. And the calendar's crammed. There's ballet. There's a recital. There's a science fair that you have to go to. There's, you know, practice. There's jujitsu. There's everything, right? Not that you don't want to do that. You certainly do. There's nothing better than being a dad. Dad, you know what I mean. But you got to navigate, and it's tough. This is something that you got to navigate, and it's tough, but it's awesome because you just have to find the right amount of time to squeeze all this in. And you know what? We're resilient. We'll do it. We'll figure it out. We will squeeze it in. Diesel, any word from Teak here? What do you think here, bud? Oh, by the way, the Masters in November. November 12th, November 15th. It is November. And is the Ryder Cup the week right after that or before it? I'm getting all mixed up now. And for me to get mixed up on golf, you know it's been a weird season. Although I will tell you this. I saw a video today, a little Twitter video. One of the caddies, he recorded, it was a player, an obscure player. I guess he had a wedge into a green. And the caddy was up on the green. And he just had his cell phone running. And the ball was, I'm sure, purposely long with no spin. The ball rolled for 42 seconds. Off the first green, off the first green at Wingfoot. You all remember what happened to Phil in 2006. I was 30 feet to his left on the tee box when he was rifling things out of bounds on 18, going left, getting double bogey. But from most of the accounts and from all the great golfers, this is going to be a low-scoring, dastardly challenge, which is what we want. We want these guys to get 10. You know, I mean, as great as interesting as it is to see Dustin Johnson put up a minus 30 a few weeks back in Boston, let's face it, for hacks like us, it's more fun to watch these guys grind for par, have to make the 8-footer to save bogey. Nice, you know? All right. So, Deesa, I start to ask you, but I'm sorry, any word from Teak or not yet?
No official word from Mr. Barber. Doesn't look like he'll be set for next segment.
All right. What do we got coming up next segment? Even though I can't even get to this here. Hold on. Oh, God, again, that happened to me what I didn't want to happen. What do we have? What's on the rundown? Just tell me. I can't get to it. Just tell me. It's all good. What we got?
We are continuing our discussion on the Big Ten.
We're going to stick with this. Well,
8 games in 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, but I also want to branch a little bit more deeply. 8 games. I like the enthusiastic sell as I had nothing to say. 8 games in 8 weeks. A little bit more on the Pac-12. And by the way, and we know the Buckeyes are going to be good, but, you know, where are the other true challenges? Now we've got to amp up the actual football, the football stuff for this conference, my favorite conference. We'll get to that coming up next. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com. To learn more, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get with Dennis Dodd coming up next. We're really getting to the particulars of how this transpired, you know, what happened behind the scene, what this means for the college football playoffs, et cetera. And we'll do that coming up next here. And we'll get into the Odell Beckham stuff next hour with the thought he's already on the trading block. It is amazing. You know, I wanted to say this. Oh, we'll do some golf, too. Shane Bacon, who's good. He's going to join us today at 5:20 Eastern. Shane is with Fox. We've had him on before. Good dude. Good presentation. Good energy. And great knowledge. He was walking the course today. He'll give us a thought on, you know, what the guys are saying on the range, how the course. I just told you it's obviously playing tough. But he's out there. He could probably reiterate that a little bit more effectively and give you a different context. So the one thing that I was thinking about, and I don't think that this is going to happen, but it's not implausible, all right? It is not impossible. Just consider this for a second. I'm going to weave in the NFL and college football, the Big Ten return, partially in one little hybrid statement take here. So who's playing tomorrow night, Thursday night football? The Browns are playing, all right? If they lose that game, and I don't know what they're going to do. I thought they were going to cover the 6 against the Ravens. I really had high expectations. I got the Browns as a wild card team. I mean, if this thing, if they lose tomorrow, and I'm more inclined to think that they find a way to win rather than lose. But if they lose the Battle of Ohio, all right, and Baker plays poorly, and Beckham's not too involved, the chirping, the situation, oh boy, it's going to get ugly. That's one situation. You'll see where I'm going with college in a moment. The Jets are playing the Niners this weekend. Le'Veon Bell is on IR, all right, hurt his hamstring. The only receiver that they brought in, Denzel Mims from Baylor, who's a beast, big, strong, thick, fast. God, this guy got hurt right away. Didn't take one route in camp. Not one route. Hurt. He's on IR. The Jets have no weapons. The Jets are probably going to get smoked by the... Even though the 49ers are really beat up, Richard Sherman's not playing. Kittle is banged up. They've got some other issues there. I think Garoppolo's good, but I don't think he's great. So you could probably get in his head a little bit, maybe have him make a mistake. Maybe the Jets keep it tight. I don't think the Jets are going to win. But if the Jets lose ugly and Darnold, you know, another back throw off his foot, you know, a bad throw off his back foot to the wrong team, something he does a lot. Now you start to look at, man, do the Browns need to draft a quarterback? Like if the Browns were to finish in the top 5 and they've got too much talent, if that happens, it is an unmitigated, it's worse than last year. And last year was bad because we thought they rectified it this year. If it happens again, I think it's because people believe in Stefanski. Nobody believed in Freddie Kitchens, all due respect. If they finish top 5, really meaning bottom 5, and Baker has another season of regression, mechanics are a mess, which they are, do they draft a quarterback top 5? Okay. And if Sam Darnold continues these mystifyingly bad throws, as much as I defend the young man, I love him, I got to call what I see. You keep making the same mistake, I'm going to have to check out on you. There's no way I'm going to go to the well for a guy who keeps making the same mistake in year 3, you know, week after, well, not week after week, because the last 10 weeks last year, he was actually phenomenal, among the highest rated passers in the NFL. But his mistakes are, when he makes mistakes, they're always of the same variety. Poorly, you know, developed mechanics or seeing something that's not there, whatever. So if Darnold regresses and the Jets bomb, and the Jets, even if Darnold somehow plays well, the Jets will suck this year. This is not a mirage. The Jets stink. Do the Jets draft the quarterback? And I bring all this to the table because while Trevor Lawrence is playing, and you know, with Clemson, now Justin Fields gets a chance to play. And now Justin Fields gets a chance to get evaluated again. Only 8 games, starts October 24th. Now, I looked at a bunch of mocks earlier today. Right now, there's obviously some fluctuation. One of the mocks I really trust, they've got Justin Fields going number 12. I believe, number one, his skill set, and also possibly the circumstances of particularly the Jets could have him shoot up that draft board, right? Because the other teams that really should be bad, and the Jaguars are supposed to be bad, but Gardner Minshew had one incomplete pass, and I liked Gardner Minshew before the season. I've always defended him as a talent. You know, he's slippery in the pocket. He's accurate. He's a playmaker. Guys like playing with him. Doesn't make mistakes. He can run. I like Gardner Minshew. But the worst teams in the NFL, if we were to fast forward here, Jets, absolutely. Washington's defense is good. I'm not going to put them there out of respect. And Rivera. The Lions. Yeah, I know D-Cell just whispered on my ear, Jacksonville. But I'm still going to have to put Jacksonville there, even though I really do like Gardner Minshew. They just have too much talent that's gone defensively. Jacksonville will put there. Those are the three worst teams, in my opinion. Totality of the roster, coaching staff, direction, Gase will be gone, Barone will be gone, right? So those are the three worst teams. Conceivably, even though I'm a Minshew fan, all three could draft quarterbacks. And that's why you think about this, D-Cell. Not that Justin Fields would not have been drafted in the first round, or maybe even in the top 10 without a Big Ten season. But this would further embolden executives to really stake, if they like what they see, and they should because he's terrific, stake their reputation in the organizational meetings and as they grade out these players and as they provide their pick. And obviously GM's got final say with the coach, et cetera. But you know, as they say, this is who I'm putting my reputation behind, which is what happens. More evidence to put that reputation and that support behind Justin Fields. So while it's great that we get the Big Ten back, that's awesome. This also changes things possibly in the NFL in terms of what certain teams could do in the draft pertaining to the quarterback. Make sense, D-Cell?
I actually think it's a great point. And I
wait, hold on. What do you mean actually? Like that implies like I actually like. Like well, that doesn't happen every day on the show.
Well, it was more following. I didn't think about it in that light before.
Ah.
See, there you go. I saved it.
Continue, though. You know I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But I follow your logic on that. I mean,
right?
It could very well play out that way. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen, you could also take everything that I said with a grain of salt and just bury this in the garbage can. Baker Mayfield comes out, and this wouldn't surprise me tomorrow night. Because the Chargers didn't show a whole lot either. But, you know, let's say the Browns find a way to win tomorrow. You know, they win 30-13. Beckham's got a touchdown. They run the ball well, which they did against the Ravens. Now, Njoku's hurt and Landry's banged up as well. So maybe it's not 30-13. But if they win and they play well and Baker kind of stabilizes things, and even though no matter what happens this week with the Jets, best case, they're 4-12. I just don't see how they win games. I just don't. But I do believe that Sam Darnold could rise above the ineptitude around him enough that would make the Jets punt on drafting a quarterback in round one next year. That's not impossible. Matter of fact, I think that that's more likely, and I think the Brown situation is more likely than the former. You know, I don't think that Baker is gone next year. I don't think that Darnold's gone. But if they are, and you need a quarterback, Justin Fields gets to play 8 more games and probably more than that because the Buckeyes are going to dismantle teams. It's great. All right, let's get the update for Mac. All right, we'll come back with that. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports college football writer, you know, how we got to this point, the minutiae behind the decision, the minutiae behind the testing program, possible pitfalls. We'll get with Dennis up next. Ton of info. Axe update is right now. He's Rich. This Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader week two. The early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants, Tiki's Giants, and the Bears. Mitch Trubisky time. Better be worried, Giants. Along with the Broncos squared off with the Steelers. Then in game two, it's Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Chargers, who narrowly beat the Bengals in Joe Burrow's debut, missed field goal, or the Ravens, who looked great, taking on the Texans, who looked eh, Thursday against the Chiefs. It all starts with JB and the guys. NFL Today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday on CBS. Third hour coming up. Shane Bacon's going to join us. He's out in Mamaroneck, Wingfoot, one of the great fabled venues on the entire PGA Tour. U.S. Open begins tomorrow, and Tiger is playing, obviously, he's healthy. Obviously, Phil, all the young bucks. We'll get a sense of what the course is like and the conditions and who might do well. So Shane joins us next hour. The Browns already looking to unload Odell Beckham Jr. Wow. We'll get into that story coming up as well. But right now, we're joined by Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports College football writer for the Scoop on the Big Ten. Dennis, what's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm okay now. Earlier today was kind of a head rush, but no, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's a pleasure. We need some info. You're one of our guys. Now, head rush today or head rush the past couple of weeks, the way the Big Ten has bungled, although they've ultimately got it right, I think. But, boy, what a wild, weird ride, and they did themselves no favor from a PR point of view. But as you point out, science beats out, and I'm going to use your words, the noisy mass of loud voices and talking points. And really, Dennis, at the end of the day, that's what matters, right?
Yeah, I mean, whatever right is, I don't know if anybody got it right. We'll know in maybe years if this was the right decision for any of these conferences, because we don't know if we'll even complete the season. But I think they, you know, you can talk about the bad messaging and communications, and there was that. You know, 42 days ago, they had a schedule out. 37 days ago, they canceled the season. 27 days ago, Kevin Warren said, we are not going to revisit it for all season. Well, here they are. They've revisited it. So they've done – if that's right, then they've done it right. And if you ignore the fact that all these conferences are chasing some percentage of those TV dollars, we know that. The criticism remains that the players are being used as mercenaries to some degree. If you just get rid of, you know, Ryan Day and Scott Frost giving up their day jobs as crisis managers and the parents and the players and the presidents, I think they wanted to divorce themselves from all that and just try to stress that, hey, it changed. We can do rapid daily testing now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the weekend of October 23rd, 24. 8 games, 8 weeks. Going to stuff it all in there, barring no unexpected interruptions, which they're probably will be. I mean, I think it's probably naive to think there'll be no interruptions. But I think, first of all, are you convinced that this automatically aligns the Big Ten with the rest of the conferences playing and obviously gives them a chance to compete for a championship? That's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think it aligns with them, and I think that's why they added that funky exhibition game on the last day of the last weekend of the season, December 18th, 19th, where they have the championship game and then 6 other games, second place versus second place, third versus third, so forth, to get in what amounts to, you know, inventory for their rights holders. Fox and ESPN paid for 9 conference games for those 14 teams. They're going to get that. And then that somewhat aligns them with the other conferences, SEC, ACC, and Big 12, that are playing 9 or 10 games themselves. So they will, I think the call has to be made, but they will be eligible for college football playoffs, and then we just go from there.
Yeah, we're talking to Dennis Dodd. You got to read his piece. It's on CBSSports.com. He's obviously as piped in as anybody when it comes to this. The minutia of the sport, highly connected. By the way, what is the Pac-12 thinking right now?
Yeah, they're really backed into a corner. That's a great question because, you know, now everybody's, okay, guys, what are you going to do? You know, they were the first to come out and make this partnership and announce what they called a game-changing rapid daily testing antigen test, which it really was. And they are going to have all the machines delivered to their campuses by the end of this month. Great. When can you come back? Well, there's a problem. Half their teams can't even practice right now, can't even fully padded practice because of local ordinances due to COVID in Oregon and California, particularly California. I'm told Oregon may not be a problem very soon. You got 4 teams in California. Stanford cannot have 3 hands touch the ball. In other words, center, high, quarterback, yes, can't hand off or go to receive. That is not allowed. So you got to get past that. Now, Larry Scott, the commissioner, thinks he's hoping that this new rapid daily testing will, in fact, convince the local officials or state officials to say, hey, we can do this safely, and that would open it up. But even then, are they going to be aligned in time already by October 24th, same as the Big Ten? Larry Scott, all I see is said that maybe a start in late November, but then what are you playing for? You know, you're finishing your season in February with a Pac-12 championship, and that's basically it, while the MAC and Mountain West try to go whatever they're going to do. So they're really backed into a corner now to what they're going to do.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something. It's obviously not a, although fans would disagree, not a primary point for me. The greatest point is that they're coming back in the safety and all that. But
yeah,
you look at the NFL, and there's a scattered a couple of stadiums. The Chiefs have a few fans. The Broncos had a few fans the other night. Do we know if there's going to be a league-wide edict in terms of some fans or no fans or a state-by-state local government basis? How's that going to work?
They said no fans.
Right? Totally no fans.
Yeah, no. Now, look, again, you can revisit this as time goes on, and I'm sure they've got a model out there. Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, said early on, in talking about money, if they played a full season, which they won't, play a full season without fans, they'd lose $50 million. So that just gives you some idea of what's at stake here. But for now, no fans. I think every team, an NFL team, is subject to local ordinances anyway. So it's not, it's not a big, it's a Big Ten edict for now. But I think it could change later in the season if this clears up.
Yeah.
There's no certainty that will.
No, that's for sure. We all know about the flu season. That's not too far away, man. We're all holding on, batting down the hatches. I agree. You know, you talk about the daily rapid testing and the test results completed before and recorded before every practice, every mm-hmm. game. What's amazing, I think it's a good thing. I just don't know how real – it might be too ambitious. 21 days to return for somebody who tests positive, it just seems like that's – 3 weeks can sabotage a lot. What was the – how did they come – why 21? That's a lot, which I respect, but why the number 21? Where'd they come up with that?
Number is usually 14.
Yeah.
And on the scene call this morning, and they were just being cautious. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with being overcautious. Maybe that's what they were in this process. Everybody wants to play. What the heck is wrong with being overcautious? When you have, young adults who aren't paid being run out there to make money for these schools. Do they want to play? Yes, of course they want to play. That's not news.
Yeah, but Dennis, you know what, Dennis? Play. Dennis, I hear you, and I agree with you, too. Yeah. But I feel like it's that's their way of trying to placate the detractors that they're coming back. Well, we'll satisfy this hand over here, but let's also satisfy this man. We'll make it 21 days. It just seems like a great, what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say they did that. I think that's worth raising. But the people that they had involved, I think, had this in good faith and did it with the best interests of the athletes in mind, as much as they could. I just mentioned the money part of it.
Yeah.
But I think they were just being cautious. I mean, look, Maryland and Wisconsin have shut down football activities. Penn State's having an outbreak on campus. This thing isn't wide open that we're going to play right now. It's just that they plan to play. And I think what you don't want to do is bring a guy back who can infect the team before he's ready. Is 21 days too much? I'm no doctor. I guess you could argue that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and say, the opposite of that is somebody being hospitalized. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize.
No, it wasn't a criticism. It was more of a question and a speculation, just to be clear on my end. You know, listen, one thing we don't do on the show, we don't shove politics down people's throats. We're sensitive. There's two sides, and there's very, very different opinions on each aisle, as you know. So working under that and showing respect to both sides, but maybe giving me an answer somewhere in between. I mean, how much of this was politically motivated? I know they try to separate themselves from that. I know President Trump weighed in on the Big Ten and he tweeted today, but I mean, did that really have any influence? What was the political aspect of this, if any?
I've written that story already that the White House had a conference call for a deep background conference call with reporters. Reporter could call in, ask any question. Okay. They spent the majority of the call saying that President Trump absolutely influenced this. He offered federal resources to the Big Ten. After the September 1st call with Kevin Warren that got so much attention, he made 300 calls to parents and players and ADs and coaches. The Big Ten simply said, we neither received nor asked for federal resources. Mm-hmm. You had an NBC News report from a Big 12 president who tweeted, Trump didn't do anything. This is not because of Trump, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So is it political? It became political when Kevin Warren took that call on September 1st. Because you knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
You were going to get a tweet out of it either way. And I'm
no
not
question.
Political by saying it. He didn't have to take that call.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask him, did he clear that with the Big Ten president?
Mm.
Because if he didn't, he works for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, that story's been written. The Big Ten has refuted the White House's claim that President Trump, offered to, not offered, but helped the federal resources for the Big Ten.
Yeah, to help facilitate a return. Just wanted to get that aspect. Final thing, we could make it a football thing, back to the field here. It's Dennis Dodd, college football writer, and a great one. Been around a long time, CBSSports.com. Because there's such a rigid nature to the schedule, stuffing 8 games in 8 weeks here, you know, if there is an outbreak or if a game is canceled or God forbid, two, is there a contingency plan? Like, the worst thing for me would to come back and you know, the bells and the whistles and have this grand plan without a fallback plan B and plan C. There's no wiggle room. Are they able to create any if they have to still be a part of the college football playoff?
Well, yeah, I think that's the first question is, okay, what do they do if they can't play all the games? Because there's no bye weeks to make those up. So if you're looking at a 7-0 Ohio State, that's what it's going to be. But then the question becomes, how do you determine your champion if one plays 9 and the other plays 7? And if the one that plays 7, how is it eligible, or if it isn't eligible for the college football playoff?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answers to those questions. I started making those calls this morning after this thing was announced and didn't get through on it. But it's a problem all these other conferences face. Even the Power Fives that are playing now, they've got 3 bye weeks built in, but there's no guarantee they're going to play all their games.
That's true.
And I think the commissioner said from the beginning that there's a possibility that, you know, teams might not finish their seasons. Okay, then what does that mean for bowl eligibility, for playoff
mm-hmm.
eligibility?
Mm-hmm.
Be determined.
Okay. You know, give me 20 seconds on this, if you can, Dennis. Dennis Dodd with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Obviously, football is your wheelhouse. But, you know, as a big college basketball fan, and for all the college basketball fans out there, this would be a very positive development with the development of the daily rapid testing, or at least, I mean, the development was there. But the willingness of schools to partake in this, you would think that this would be a good, not a clear-cut guaranteed sign, but a good sign for college basketball, right?
I think the testing in general is a positive sign for college basketball. The issue there is you're going to be playing 2 or 3 times a week. And, you know, maybe that helps the fact that, you know, hey, we can play. You know, we don't have to wait for these tests. We're doing it daily anyway. So, I think just the frequency and the detail of these tests, because the antigen test that the Big Ten is going to use, the effectiveness isn't 100%. Say it's 70%. But the fact is the viral load that you leave behind isn't contagious at that point.
Gotcha.
So they can back that up with one of these PCR tests. It's not foolproof. None of these are. You can still catch it. But this is the best way to proceed without a vaccine right now.
Got it. Dennis, really good stuff. Thanks for the information. Always enjoy reading you. Always good having you on the show. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Yep, you got it, Dennis Dodd. Coming up, rumors swirling. NFL superstar. Is he about to get shipped out? Who is it? Where might he get shipped? Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.